Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
Great to be with you tonight, and you know, great to be together, and love to bring a word tonight from our series, which is entitled Simple Prayer, and it comes from the book, as you know, John Dalrymple. It's a very thin book, very simple book in some ways, but very powerful in our experience of prayer. And the theme we're looking at tonight, as the author titles it, is spiritual reading. And he says this about spiritual reading about the monks of the 3rd and 4th, 5th century. They said this: the monks of old prescribed that as much time each day should be spent in spiritual reading as in prayer. As much time should be spent in spiritual reading as in prayer. Love that. And as I think about our topic tonight, I like to, first of all, just include the many Christian books that perhaps we've read or are reading, or maybe even the podcasts we listen to. Very helpful in our walk with Jesus, and very helpful. But our central reading piece, we know what that is. It's the Word of God. It's the Bible, and that's where we're going to center our thoughts on tonight. Two scriptures that come to mind as we introduce our topic. There's a beautiful scene, pretty sensitive scene in Acts chapter 6, where the leaders of the church are facing a pretty sensitive problem going on. And they find a way to solve that by God's grace. But in the midst of that, they say to the people, we must give our attention to prayer and to the Word. To the Word and to prayer equally together. And then our key verse for tonight is Matthew chapter 4. And Matthew chapter 4 is where Jesus is in the wilderness. He's been tempted by the devil. And he states this in response to one of those temptations. People, do not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Believe that? That's true. And we're going to unpack that a little bit later, but really, we're saying tonight, this is our very sustenance. This is our fuel for living, the Word of God, from the mouth of God. And so specifically tonight, what I'm asking for, and I wonder if you can just join me in this prayer, I'm just asking God, would you renew our approach to God's Word? Lord, would you refresh our approach to your Word? That's what I'm asking for tonight. I wonder if you could just pray that for yourself, and maybe your family, and maybe others as you think about it as we go. Because if we're honest with ourselves, and I'm thinking about myself here, but maybe you can relate, that there's times where we have little motivation to read God's Word, or it seems a bit dry, or there's parts that we can't understand. Deep down, we might say, I want to be a good Christian. I know I have to read the Word. People tell me it's going to help me to grow, so I force myself to read it sometimes. Sometimes we may approach the Word of God to simply tick off a reading schedule. It makes us feel good, and then sometimes you start to get behind. Ever get behind on a reading schedule? Happens a lot. And we go, it's okay, but it's sort of a bit of a pressure that begins to mount to be able to read that. And maybe we approach the Word of God to simply gain just more information so we can be better prepared in life. Now, there's nothing absolutely wrong with that. I wouldn't say anything wrong with that, but what I would say is sometimes we can overdo those things when it comes to the Word of God, and it clouds some of the essential reasons for approaching God's Word. I remember my first year of Bible college, and prior to Bible college, I read the Bible most days of the week. As soon as I started my first year of Bible college, ironically, I stopped reading my Bible. Funny enough, it was my devotional life that began to cease as I was at Bible college. And I went into Bible college to study the Bible so I could gain more information, that I could preach better, that I could speak to people better, or help them understand the Scriptures better, maybe refute bad doctrine and all of those things. Good things, right? But my first year, which was my first year of ministry as well, it was the spiritually driest I've ever had in my life. It's because my devotional reading, my reading with Jesus, had stopped and ceased. And so I learnt the hard way that Matthew 4 says, I cannot live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That speaks of a rhema word that I want to share a little bit later about. So tonight, I'm going to offer us three reminders of how we approach our engagement in the Word of God. All right, three things. Here's the first one. We come to commune. Just speak to someone next to you and say, hey, when we come to read the Word, we commune with God. Just say that to someone next to you. Don't be shy, just do it. All right, we come to commune, Ron. All right? See, whenever we pray, or whenever we open the Word, we're entering into a beautiful, glorious moment with the Triune God. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's a community going on, and we're entering in at that time. And Paul says this to the church at Corinth at the end of his second letter. He says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That's just a beautiful, beautiful statement about who God is. The grace, the goodwill, the favour of Jesus be with you. The sacrificial love of our Father be with you, and the closeness, the special closeness of the Holy Spirit be with you always. It's very beautiful. It's remarkable. Somewhat surprising that God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit would invite us into this communion 24/7, any time of the day, any time of the week, any time at all. It's a very special thing. And for our theme tonight, we know who the author of the Bible is. It's the Lord, isn't it? It's God. And every person of the Godhead had some involvement in that. Listen to this. John 1 declares the Word was God, our Father. The Word became flesh in the Son of God, and we know that the Scriptures were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit guided those writers. It's just amazing. So tonight, as we think about coming to commune, I want us just to kind of think about making a distinction between simply just reading God's Word to something different, that's actually communing with God in His Word. Can you hear the difference there? We come to read God's Word, but that's different to communing with God in His Word. And as we think about that, so important to commune with God in His Word. I just want you to imagine something for a moment. Imagine Jesus, he's decided he wants to visit one of his churches in Australia. There's about 80,000 churches, I think. But he says, I want to go to Life Streams Carawarra. And he comes in at 4:45 p.m. and he sits up the back, which is his style. And people begin to gather around him because it's Jesus. And people are sitting all in chairs and at his feet and so on. And it's very special, great commotion. And then Mark, I'm going to pick on you, Mark, sorry. Mark decides to drop everything and he goes up the back and he sits at the feet of Jesus just listening to him. Meanwhile, I've got to do all the setup here you can see behind me. All right, good on you, Mark. Thanks for that. And I'm running around and Mark's having a good old time sitting at the feet of Jesus. And I say at some point, hey, Jesus, I really love your work. I'm a follower of you. I'm a big fan. I don't mind if all those people sit around you, but Mark, he's got to set up the projector and the computer. Can you just release him? And it's no sooner have I said those things, Jesus says, Darren, you are distracted by many things. Only one thing is needed. Mark's chosen the better. Good on you, Mark. You know, that's reminiscent of a story, isn't it? In Luke 10, Mary and Martha. Jesus, Martha is distracted by many things. Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus. What a beautiful picture just to think of Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, communing with Jesus in His Word, listening to the Word. The living Word of God, right in those moments, very special as we think of that. Absorbing His Word and communing with God. You think of Mary, she's sitting at the feet of Jesus communing. She's also listening intently. And that leads to my second point. Are you with me? We come to commune. Number two, we've got to come to listen. Listen to this from Ecclesiastes chapter 5. It says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. The house of God was the dwelling place where God dwelled in the Old Testament. It was where his presence was and dwelt. We have his presence today living in us, but there's something special about still coming into the tangible presence of God. And it says to draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God, for God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Interesting, isn't it? We come to listen. We come to hear the God of heaven while we're here on earth. And it's an intentional move towards the holy presence of the triune God. We come to listen. And so it should be with the holy word of God. Listening is about, for me, digesting as well. I think there's a great image that there's an author quoted in the book, Vol Hugel. He presents it like this when he's likening the word of God, reading the word, brother, to dissolving a lozenger on the tongue. And as we think about that, we digest that slowly. The taste expands in our mouth. And when the lozenger has been finished, the taste is still there as we think about the word. It says in Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is like a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. Sometimes I come to the word of God and I go, I've read that before. I know what it means. I've heard that. I've read it before. But it's interesting. You can read the word of God and then 3 months later read the same text and it says something different to your situation. That's amazing about the word of God. As we think about that being a light for my path, I like to think of the old lamps. You know, the old lamps where you can actually turn it up and I think it just increases the oil and the lamp begins to light up and it lights you up and then it lights the surrounds around. And I think this is like the word of God. We come to listen, read slowly, digest slowly, and then it's like the illumination of God's word begins us to make us self-aware of what God is saying. I just want to guard against, this is not about taking more information in about God's word. This is about God saying something to us, listening to his spirit. And when we listen to God, when we read a passage, the Lord has written this for you and I. You know, when we sit with the word, sometimes it's helpful to think, oh, Lord, you've written this for me. Now, I know that's not so much true broadly, but in that moment it is. What are you saying to me? You ever received just a beautiful letter or email from someone that you can't throw away or you can't hit delete and you keep it? If you're a parent, and I'm sure many of us have received cards from our children, beautiful cards, we have a tradition in our family that you can't just write any old one little letter statement. You have to use the whole card. And write something about the person that you really cherish and you really love. And we can't throw those cards out. In fact, we come back to them again and again later and it starts to stimulate the same feelings. The same is true when a parent writes letters for their children because we want that to impact them for their life and maybe their future. In year six, we might write those as they finish school. Maybe year 12. In fact, Joel finishes year 12 in a couple of weeks. He's got two exams left. That's my son. And we wrote a letter for Joel. And it took a good hour to really process that and write what we wanted to say over the course of a week. And Joel when he first got that letter, he kind of said, oh, that's nice, and just put it down. He didn't read it. And I said to him, are you going to read that letter? And he said, yeah, later. Okay. But then he read the letter, and he comes out of his rooms and he says, matey, he never calls me dad, by the way, he just says mate. And I said, you read the letter? And he said, yeah, it was pretty special, really good. Just want to say thank you for that. I said, no problem. Did it impact you? And he said, yeah, I had a tear or two, was what he said. And I said, that's great. Now, I'm pretty sure, and I'm probably going to say when I get home, Joel, don't throw that letter away. Make sure you keep that. But I'm pretty sure he's going to. And he'll come back to that again and again and again. You know, it's a bit like this when we come to the Word of God. Our Father has written that for us, like a father to a child. And I think we come to it because God wants to impart life. He wants to speak to our hearts. There's some things that we actually don't want to hear, which are hard to hear from God, but they're always to impart life and freedom, always, and particularly to our situations and circumstances right now. Okay, we come to commune, we come to listen, and here's the third one I want to offer as a reminder and maybe insight, is ask God for a rhema word. Back to our scripture, people do not live on bread alone, but by every rhema word that comes from the mouth of God. I think the reason the Bible never dates is because it's alive, it's active, like the Hebrews author says. And he's giving rhema words every day. Now, some of us may not understand the word rhema and understand the concept of that. I just want to unpack that quickly for us tonight. We have done a series on that in the past, but it's been a while now. So good to remind us that in the New Testament, there are two Greek words for the word, logos and rhema, or rhema. And logos is an example of this from John 1:1. In the beginning was the word, which is logos in the Greek. And the logos was with God and the logos was God. And logos really means that narrated message, the written word objectively recorded in the Bible. Then an example of rhema, Ephesians 6:17 says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word, the rhema word of God. And rhema is this idea that the word of God is spoken to us at a specific occasion into a unique situation that you are facing, and a unique setting that is yours. So we could read the same word, Ron and I, and actually have different responses to that word. This written word means that it is what it means, and that word can leap off the page. I find when I read the Word of God, there's something that leaps off the page, and that's an indicator for me personally to just stop and say, okay, what's the Lord saying? And sometimes he'll speak to a certain situation. Sometimes it might be a personal issue on the inside and so on. Now, I just want to take this a little bit further, if I may. This quotation, Matthew 4:4, have we still got it there, Mark? Yes. Actually is a quotation Jesus uses from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. And Deuteronomy is a book is really thought of as Moses' last preaching ministry, and he's recording all those things down. And this is what it says in the first half of verse 3. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known. And what that is a reference to a story out of Exodus 16. Israelites have just left Egypt and they've been set free, set from captivity. And no sooner had they left Egypt, guess what they did? They began to grumble. They began to complain. And in verse 3, this is what they said. If only we had died in Egypt, at least we had pots of meat and bread and food we wanted, and now we're about to starve. Now, God graciously begins to supply and rains down bread from heaven. And Jesus says this is a reference about him. And basically, the Lord is feeding the Israelites with bread every day. Now, this bread is pretty good bread. It's crisp, it's sweet, and it's fresh every day. Imagine that. And then this is what he says in the latter part of 8 verse 3, Deuteronomy 8 verse 3. This was to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So in one sense, the Israelites had to rely on the Lord to supply their needs every day, and God was teaching them not just to rely on their physical needs, but to rely essentially on their spiritual needs, on the word of God that comes from his mouth. I just really think this is really rich. It's something to capture in this moment when we unpack the scripture like this. We have to rely on the Lord every day for our personal physical needs to be met. But so too, we must rely on the manna that comes down from heaven, Jesus, our need for him, and our need for a rhema word every day. We need fresh food every day. We need fresh word from God every day. That's the inference that I believe is in these scriptures here from the Old Testament and the quotation of Jesus. Just as food sustains life, so do every rhema word out of the mouth of God, our spiritual life, which in my view sustains everything else. Ask for his rhema word today. You know, I'll be honest, I forgot to do that until I realised this is my topic this week. I better start doing it. And I decided to not test God necessarily, but just to sit, commune, listen, and to ask God for a rhema word. And if you're following our journals, we're in the book of Jeremiah at the moment, and I was reading chapter 16 and 17 on Tuesday, I think it was, and I couldn't get past verse 12 of chapter 16, which says, have I got it there? No. It says this, see how you are following the stubbornness of their evil heart instead of obeying me. And that word stubbornness leapt off the page, the stubbornness of my own heart. Now, I've got to admit something. When I read that, I thought, yeah, those Israelites, yeah, they're pretty stubborn. I've read that in other places in the Old Testament. Yeah, that's right. And then I began to think, I know some others who might be quite unwilling in some things and stubborn. And as I thought about that, I began to ask the Lord, am I stubborn as well? Now, some of you might say, yeah, Darren, you are pretty strong in some things. But the Lord said, yes, you are. I was shocked. I said, what? What are you talking about, Lord? If we take the opposite of stubbornness to be softness before the Lord, there were two warnings the Lord gave me about a particular situation that I'm navigating at the moment, that it's easy to become just stubborn in my approach to that situation rather than soft and gracious. There's a time for firmness and all of that, but being set in my ways, or older I get, the more experience I give you that this can actually happen. That was a good word for me. My prayer became, you might want to pray this prayer. Maybe you're not stubborn like me, but Lord, remove every stubborn particle from me so that I might serve you with a soft heart. So what is the Lord saying to you? He's going to say something specific to you. Commune, yes, listen, but ask for a rhema word. And I want to give you a 7-day challenge tonight, this week. Here's the challenge. Does anyone have their calendar on their phone? Yeah, if you do, can you get it out? You can get your phones out now. Now, I just want you to look at tomorrow, Monday. And what's going to happen is there are going to be days where some days are busier than others. You know, you're going to say, I can't do it on this day. But I want to challenge you and me to go, well, if we're going to say the Word of God is like our physical food, we need this Word of God, a rhema word every day, then we need to be in the Word every day. That you find time and make time. So your calendar tomorrow, if you're willing, you actually write it in your calendar. Hey, this is the only time I can do it. There was a word I gave a couple of weeks ago that said, and I apologised at the time, I felt like the Lord was going to say and call some of you to get up during the middle of the night and to get up early. I wonder if that's happened in part. But to get up early and be in His Word. Well, let's take a few moments, and if you're listening online, pause the tape and you can just take a few moments and look at your week and how you might prioritise sitting, communing, listening to God. Just a few moments here. Oh Lord, help us. Help us this week to commune with You, listen to You, and Lord, I just pray for an impartation of Your own word for each of us in Jesus' name. We come to commune, we come to listen, we come to ask for a rhema word of God. And tonight, what does it mean to savour the word of God? I want to finish with a wonderful story that comes from the book from a man known as W.W.E. Orchard, who wrote Faith to Faith. And he, in this book, describes his old grandfather, a simple labouring man, that when he came home from work after his meal, he shaved, he dressed himself more carefully, and then settled down to the Bible he set under the lamp on the table before him. When the book had been opened at the proper place, his spectacles had to be carefully polished to the accompaniment of anticipatory sighs over the treasures he was about to explore. The spectacles being then as carefully adjusted, a verse was slowly read, half aloud to himself. Deeper sighs then followed, perhaps accompanied by the exclamation, "This blessed book." Further reflections would bring forth joyful tears, which meant that the spectacles had to be wiped again, and so on. But always the same deliberation. A visiting minister used to tell how, coming in upon one evening during these pious exercises, for he was slightly deaf, made it possible for him sometimes to come in unobserved, he inquired what was giving him so much evident joy. And it was told he was in the 8th chapter of Romans. "I've been on it all week," he explained. "And how far have you got?" "Oh, only the 5th verse so far." And this was Thursday night. And he said, "This is the spiritual reading of the deepest kind, reading which has passed from meditation to contemplation under the influence of the inspired Word of God." And let us be inspired to do the same as we tackle the Word of God tonight and this week. Can we stand? I'm going to ask Lyndon to come and to share a song as we head to communion. But I just want to ask God just to help us again as we pray. Father, tonight we just want to again ask You to help us by Your grace with the wonderful Word of God You've given us. Lord, I just go back to my prayer that I asked before, that You would give us a renewed approach to Your Word and You would refresh us as we open Your Word this week. And give us fresh insight, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Life Streams Carawarra message. Have a blessed week.